Good. Hallelujah. You know, all of us have a testimony. God has brought us all out of something. I don't know about you, but he's brought each and every one of us out of something. And I'm so grateful for what he's done in Rick's life and what he's continued to do. Amen. And we got a lot of stories to tell. And praise God, God's been glorified in them all. Amen. I was with him this week when he was at court, and he received so much favor of God, it just kind of blows everybody's mind how much, when God sees someone's heart, that he moves upon the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, and God's, he's looking at the heart. Amen? So praise God. If you have your Bibles with me with you today, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. You know, it's kind of interesting that God calls unbelief evil. Hello? And it was kind of interesting as I was looking and speaking to the Lord. He started speaking to me about all of the distractions that everyone's facing. I mean, there's so many distractions in the world in which we live in now. You know, and as time is going on, the distractions get greater and greater and greater. And all of a sudden, a lot of the things that are attractions to us are really a distraction to destroy us. You know, I think there was a movie that came out one time. It was called Fatal Attraction. You know, and in this movie, I ain't going to get into the movie because the message doesn't have anything to do with that. Amen. How many know that you're faced with a lot of distractions in this world we live in? Amen? How many know that the adversary is trying to always distract you from the things of God? Hello? How many know that some of the things that we think are really for our benefit aren't really for our benefit? So many times we get so busy for just doing stuff because we have to feed our flesh. Our flesh gets hungry and hungry and hungry and it wants more and more. Feed me, feed me, feed me. And I'm not talking about physical food. I'm talking about all the things we do to try to satisfy our flesh. I think it's interesting as the writer of Hebrews is writing in Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to begin to read with verse number 7. He says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith." Now, wait a minute. Let's just stop a minute. That tells you right off the bat that God's speaking. Amen? Amen. So if God's speaking, what should we do? We listen. Hey, that's what we just asked for, right? "Today, if you will hear his voice, and harden not your hearts as in the provocation or in the irritation and the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest." Then there's a warning. "Take heed, brethren." Remember, this is the New Testament. He's writing to the Hebrews. He's writing to the Jews. And we've been grafted into the family of God. This is New Testament teaching. This is an Old Testament teaching. He says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our faith, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." I want to focus your attention this morning to verse number 13, where the word of God says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." The title of this morning's message is Distract to Destroy. Distract to Destroy. And we look at the 3 points. The adversary comes to discourage you, to disconnect you, and then by deception, to deceive. Amen? Let's lift our word together and make a proclamation in the house, and then we'll let and see what the Holy Spirit wants to say. Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word. My life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. My ears are open and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. And I'll never cease to give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're grateful that you sent this word to minister to each and every one of us. Father, first and foremost, Father God, I pray that Carl gets out of the way. I pray, Lord, that you speak through me. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the place. And when all is said and done, you'll receive all the glory, honor, and praise. For I ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. You know, when I was thinking about this and I was looking at this this text, and we're looking at our scripture reference that says to exhort and not to have a hard heart and the deceitfulness of sin. And when he's talking about this thing, the Lord took me to Galatians 3, where the Apostle Paul speaks about that Jesus became a curse for us, because cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. And he took on the curse of sin. And what we want to talk about this morning is to reverse the curse. Amen? So first, the adversary comes to discourage. Now let's be transparent. Is there anybody in the room that's facing some discouragement in their life? Let's be honest. Transparent. Be real. You can't get healed if you don't get real. Okay. Hallelujah. God is come to encourage us. He's to reverse the curse. So the opposite of to discourage would be to encourage. Now I want you to know that as a body, we're to be encouraging one another. You know, there's a lot of discouragement out in the world. You know, and there's a lot of encouragement out there too, but sometimes the encouragement is in the wrong direction. Amen? So look with me in Deuteronomy. I just want to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 3 for a moment. I was thinking about these young people, these young adults and these college students that are here, and the high school graduates and the young adults, and Joshua is a young man, and he's getting ready to take the children of Israel, and he's getting ready to leave them, and he was given a charge in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse number 28. The word of God says, but charge Joshua and encourage him, and strengthen him. For he shall go over before this people and shall cause him to inherit the land which thou shalt see. In other words, God's given us all a charge. But it's so important that when you come together as a body of Christ, that he said, exhort one another daily while it is called today. You know, sometimes people can't wait for a week to be encouraged. The devil still shows up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And the Bible says we're to exhort one another daily. In other words, we need to find someone that we can encourage. How many looked around and saw the hands of those that were here that are discouraged? Discouragement is the first avenue where the adversary comes in to disconnect the children of God. So in other words, if we see this, we've got to be aware. Hey, we're not dead men walking. We're alive and well. We got the Spirit of God. Amen. We've got to speak, prophesy and speak life over people. You know, if death and life are in the power of the tongue, we've got to speak some life, because they're getting told that they're not worth or anything, or they don't have value. There's a lot of bullies in school. You don't think there's bullies in school? There's bullies that tear and deride people and are mean to people. But God's come to give life in the abundance thereof, and he's called you and I to be encouragers. Hallelujah. In other words, here's the mentality of people. Well, people picked on me, so I'm going to find somebody to pick on. Amen. You know, we render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. We render unto God's what is God's. He tells us to speak life. Amen. You know, I see the good. I don't look at the bad. I'm not going to see the bad. I'm going to see the good. I'm going to try to encourage you to walk in the grace and the mercy that God has given you. Amen. You're with your brilliance, your beauty, your intellect, your personality. God created everybody individually and different. He didn't create two of us alike. Stop comparing yourself with someone else. God didn't create you as someone else. He created you as you. And he didn't say, oops, he didn't make a mistake. In other words, we need to be encouragers in the house. Amen. You ought to look around today and say, hey, I want to find somebody that I can encourage. Amen. Turn me to Titus chapter 2. If he is the glory and he is the lifter of my head, I ought to be the glory and the lifter of someone else's head. Amen. Titus chapter 2. Verse number 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Hallelujah. Let me say something to you. The adversary wants you to think that you can't live godly in this present world. He's a liar and he's the father of all lies. He tries to get you to feed your flesh and not your spirit. Amen? So we're looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of a great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. In other words, Jesus said, you should know the truth, and it's the truth that's going to make us free. And as we're speaking the word of truth, sometimes the truth isn't comfortable. Hello? Hello? Would you rather God tell you the truth or just lie to you like Satan does? What is the writer of Hebrews speaking about in the context? He's speaking about not hardening our hearts like those that didn't listen to God that were in the wilderness. Amen? That he's given you and I a helper. He's given us an advocate. He's given us a friend. He's given us the Holy Spirit. We're not doing this alone. Amen? Not only do we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, but we have brothers and sisters of God and of like faith to walk beside us, to walk with us, to be encouragers, to help us. Amen? No, God didn't call anybody to be a loner. God didn't call anybody to be by yourself. He called us all to be part of a body. Amen? And we all need one another. The adversary wants you to think that you don't need anybody, so he gets you off by yourself so he can destroy you, so he can have your way. Amen? Amen? There's protection in the flock. What would a wolf do or a fox do to a herd of sheep? He'd try to get one astray, and he'd attack the one that's astray. He isn't going to attack the flock, right? He's going to attack the one that was chased away. That's why the adversary wants to have you separated from the body of Christ. Turn me to Proverbs chapter 8. God gives us instructions. Instructions. Verse 32 says, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and then shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and they that hate me love death." So the Solomon, one of the wisest men ever, because he asked God for wisdom, gives us wisdom of what to do, that we're to follow instructions. B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Hello? This is our instruction book. Amen? He is the Alpha to the Omega. He's the beginning to the end. He's Genesis to Revelations and everything in between. He's given us this book of life and a book of Revelation so that we can have understanding, so that we can walk victoriously. Amen? You know, look with me in Hebrews chapter 10. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 10:24, he says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." God is saying to us here, we're not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. You can't do it by yourself. I don't know about you, but God's presence is sweet in the house. Amen. When we were in worship and we were praised, he inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. And if you didn't feel the presence of God, it's the only reason that you didn't feel it is you didn't open up your heart to receive what God has. Amen. He says in his word, "When two or more are gathered in my name, there am the be found in the midst," and he is here. Amen. He is here. Sometimes my flesh or whatever, "Oh, I didn't feel that. I didn't feel this, and I didn't feel that." Get out of your emotions and believe God in his word. He's not a man that should lie. If God said it, he'll do it. God's here. God's here because you're here. Say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that he's going to encourage us today." Amen. 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 How many are thinking about lunch? Thank you for being honest, Sonia. What he is saying to us, you know, we're gathered here to dine.
That's true.
To dine. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, we're here to generate some faith, to bring some encouragement. Because the adversary is trying to discourage you. He's trying to put this thought in your mind, "Well, I don't know, I'm not getting anything out of being there." He's a liar. He's a liar. You know, those plans God has for you is great plans. Yeah? Sarah's my trooper. Amber, too. I'm excited. Okay. So first thing he does is he comes in to discourage. to reverse the curse, it's up to you and I to be an encourager. Secondly, he comes in to disconnect. Hardening of heart comes from disconnection. In other words, when you get disconnected from the body and you get off of this island to yourself, there's a hardness that comes with it. All of a sudden, it's me against the world. Amen? And God didn't call us to be alone. He called us to be gathered together as a body. So turn with me to Proverbs 28. Is everybody tired today? I was going to get everybody get up and shake their limbs a little bit. I ain't preaching long. I've only got a couple more minutes. And after that, just be a couple more minutes. I could go ahead and say in closing, but I could do that like three or four times. No, God wants to get something into our hearts and lives today. You know, he says in Proverbs 28, verse number 10, he says, "Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But the upright shall have good things in possession. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that have understanding searcheth him out. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them, have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart, shall fall into mischief." Man, amen. And what is God saying? See, he is saying that we're to encourage one another. We're to stay connected. You know, I think it's important for everybody in the body to connect with someone in the body. Now, I know that I'm connected with all of you, but you need to be connected with someone else in the body, someone else that you can communicate with, someone else you can talk to. And most of the time, this is not that God doesn't use your family, but get outside of your family. Your family knows too much of your business, and they're going to speak into your business instead of what God says. Get somebody outside of your family to communicate with. Now, I'm not saying your family is bad, but your family knows too much. And we don't. And let me say something to you. I'm not saying not to go to your mom and dad, because that's wisdom. I'm not saying to dishonor your parents, because that would be against God's word. What I'm saying is God wants us to be connected to people in the body of Christ. Amen. So we can be encouragers to one another. So when I come into the house, I'm not coming into the house alone. How many have said, "Well, Pastor, I've heard somebody say, well, nobody likes me there. Well, nobody loves me there." You know, and who does that? The adversary. How can you get into a place where God is love and his love is filling the atmosphere and feel that you're not loved? In other words, God is saying to us, we have a part to play. We're all the body. Amen? Hey, this young man needs some encouragement. You know the ones who are going to try to gather around him to encourage him? Is the ones he's trying to get away from. Right? They're the ones who are going to try to speak into his life. Amen? So if we know that that's going to happen, we got to be connected. So I would like for somebody, everybody in the house, to connect with somebody today. Because there's power in connection. We're not in this alone. We're all in this together. Amen? And sometimes we just need somebody to pray with. The Bible says it's two agree as touching anything. And I think that men should connect with men and women with women. We're not connecting your wives with other men. And we're not connecting your husbands with other women. Amen? Man with man. Amen? Hey, I'm a man, but I don't mind holding your hand. I know who I am. Amen? I guess I better stay away from there. Amen? 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 Okay. Turn me to Romans chapter 2. The reason I'm going here, let me say this to you. When you connect with somebody and they're confessing their faults one to another, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, leave your judgmental spirit out the door. You know, we're not here to judge anybody. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 2, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that they shall escape, that you shall escape the judgment of God. In other words, just because someone sins differently than you do, amen, you know, all of us are sinners saved by grace. All of us are a work in progress. Nobody's arrived yet. I believe when I get to that place that I'm holy, I'll be taken up from this earth because I'll be too holy for this earth if I ever got to that place. Amen? And I haven't got anywhere close to it yet. I'm a work in progress. I used to say that I'm a mess in progress, but somebody said, man, you better stop saying that about yourself. But my mess became my message, just like with the young man today. Amen, that we all have a message. And he says to you and I, or despises the riches of the goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek the glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. So as we're connecting with one another, we're to share one another. We can confess our faults one to another. And if Butch and I are coming in connection and we're confessing our faults to one another, this is between me and him and God. This isn't to everyone. That's private. Amen. In other words, when men are opening up their hearts and women are opening their hearts and they're sharing their lives with you, it's not for the news broadcasts in the church. This is between man and man and woman, and we're doing it together and we're doing it with integrity and honor. Amen. Amen. Because God says that we can't do this alone. We're not going to make it alone. Amen. We're not going to make it alone. That's why God's called us together as a body. So we find that first discouragement, we want to encourage. Disconnect, we want to be connected. And thirdly, we have deception. Turn me to Ephesians chapter 4. She went up early when I was faking the clothes. It's funny when you say in closing, you get everyone's attention. So if I say in closing three or four times, you know that we're doing here. Are you listening? He says, hey, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest your heart be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You know, the adversary is a liar. He says in Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, when I was studying this morning, the Lord was showing me something. He was talking about putting on the new man. And he said to me, he said, son, it's sort of like you were out working all day long. and you were sweating, your clothes are rotten and stinky, and you're sweating, and you perspired, and your clothes stink, and they're dirty. And you take off those clothes, and you take a shower and get your body clean, and then you put those dirty clothes back over the clean body. That's what he is saying in this word here. That we put off the old man. Have you ever been going somewhere and you really didn't think everybody was with you? Hallelujah. Thank you for encouraging me, lady. That's right. That's right. Amen. She got it. Thank you. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and then we'll close. I mean it this time. Paul says this, that the Spirit, in verse 1, says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Hey, let me say something to you, to every man and woman in Christ Jesus, that you belong to God. You belong to Him. And maybe you have sinned against your own body. Repent and stop. God can restore things that the adversary has stolen. He can make things brand new. You know, I say, ladies and guys, save yourself for the one you get married to. Amen. The adversary is trying to get you to think you that make you think that everything's your flesh has got to be satisfied by doing this or doing that. Amen. But God says it's more important that you feed the Spirit. Amen. Amen. In other words, God doesn't condemn those ones that sin. He came to forgive their sins and help them not to do it anymore. Amen. I don't know about you, but He gave me the Holy Ghost. He gave me a helper. He gave me a friend. He gave you and I an advocate. Hallelujah. We're not in this battle alone. In closing, what is God saying to us today? He's saying simply this. Amen. The adversary has come to discourage you and I. In closing, He's saying that. I'm just picking. You know, the adversary has really come to discourage. But God is here today to encourage you. Yeah, you. And you, and you, and you, and you. He's here to encourage us all. Amen. He wants you to know that it's important to be connected. To get connected with someone. Connect today. Connect today. Oh, I'm going to do that next time. Well, guess what? Next time I never come. God says to you and I, the adversary comes to bring deception. And God says to you and I that it's the truth that keeps us free. For who the Son has made free is free indeed. As He comes to distract you, to destroy you, God says through His power, we can destroy Him. Look at me in 1 John 3:8, just as I close this thing. I thought it was closing. Hallelujah. Verse number 7 of 1 John 3 says this. Children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God do not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. And this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Amen. God's called us in this together, church. Can we just stand for a moment? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can we lift our hands in the sanctuary? Father, I pray for every last one that's gathered in your presence today, Father God. Father, I pray for those that have been discouraged. Father, that you lift the spirits inside of them in the name of Jesus. That you encourage their hearts and their lives. Those that are feeling disconnected, Father God, I pray that you reconnect. That the connection has not been lost. It's just been interfered with. So I pray for a Holy Ghost connection to come today, Father God. And Father, I thank you, Father God, for the truth, and your word is the truth, Father God. And that your plans are for good, your plans are not for evil, and you give each and every one that's gathered in your presence a hope and a future. So, Father God, I pray right now that you encourage the spirits of every life that's in this room, Father God, that we're operating out of the finished work of Calvary, that it's been done, that it's been complete. And as we gather around the altar today to partake of your broken body and your shed blood, Father God, we remember in our hearts and lives that it's already done. It's already complete. It's already finished. And we're taking our celebration meal today, celebrating the finished work of your broken body and your shed blood. So, Lord, we praise you and we give you glory. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you just gather with me around?